That's pride. Thank you. Gerald. Pride. That's pride, isn't it? The devil's happy with that kind of situation. You know, that was one of Moses' problems. Moses thought that he had to speak. He had to be the brains. He had to be the mouth. He had to be everything. Well, he didn't have to be, did he? God said, you got a brother, haven't you? He can speak. Why don't you ask your brother to do the speaking? You do the thinking. And that worked out well, didn't it? Yeah, sometimes you need to be that. Anybody else?
I think I see the devil deceiving us in the fact that we think we know what is better for us than someone who has authority over us. Example, I think that I should be able to go 45 here, 35 here.
Deceives us into thinking that we know better than those who have wiser heads, or at least the majority of those who are supposed to have wiser heads.
Who has God's sanction.
Right. They have God's sanction. That galls me too, because when I walk through Woodland Hills, 45 miles an hour, that's horrible, and it takes a long time to get here. And I'm sure the devil tells us, well, Marvin, just forget it. He's not watching today. The cop isn't out today. Isn't he?
As far as things before you've seen the devil work this week, I've seen young people smart back to their parents this week.
Not our young people.
Right here. Each other.
You know, I was tempted just the other day, and I don't know if the devil didn't talk me out of it, to tell a young lady she should go home and read the Sermon on the Mount. Because I heard her call somebody a fool. You know what God says about people who call other people fools? They're in danger of judgment, aren't they? I believe the devil caused her to do that because she was upset at the time. She wouldn't have said that if she'd have thought. Same way with sassing your parents. If you think, you wouldn't sass your parents, would you, Gregory?
Like the devil's at work right now. I think we have a tendency to throw the negative side of everything right now, and so discouraged. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be talking about, but I think we have a tendency to do the same thing the news media does, and then talk about the one or two bad little things that happened, and concentrate our thoughts on those instead of the innumerable young people that we've had here that have big people.
Okay. Have you felt that you were loved this week, Philip? Why is that? Why do we feel this when we get together like this? And we don't feel loved ordinarily. Sometimes. But we don't want to get back to that negative again. I'm glad for this love that we've had among ourselves this week, haven't you? All of us have been glad. Linda?
I think when we're at home, we have love for our brothers, but we're afraid to show that love. We're afraid to go up and give someone a hug or something.
Then the devil is using fear in that case, yep. Isn't it? Jay?
I think to me, one of the most relevant lessons we had this last couple of weeks was Dan Green's lesson. Most people who know me real well know that I have a problem with them. And that I think that's where the devil does get, thinking we're not really worth it.
Steve?
Can my love for my brethren be so strong that it becomes something dangerous, something bad, because I can be duped into thinking by the devil that because I love and care for my brethren, that I must take note of the things that they do wrong so that I can correct them. And this is what we're tempted to do, like you were mentioning about the girl that you want to tell her to go home and read the Sermon on the Mount. That was because you cared about her. It wasn't because you were trying to knock her down, but the devil can use that because he makes us stop and notice the faults and our shortcomings instead of seeing the Spirit of God in that person, seeing Jesus Christ. And if we could this is the lesson that I'm learning, because in the work that I'm getting into, of course, I'm exposed to problems and things that maybe someone else could go through their whole lives and not see some of these things. Maybe I'm wrong, but maybe it's just that it happens more often that I can see problems. I'm exposed to them. And if I let the devil work on me, and he has done this, this is a battle that's going on all the time. Look at what they're doing. Listen to what they just said. Don't they know? And all this kind of stuff going on. And I love them. And this is why I notice these things. But the devil grabs that and really runs with it.
Renee?
I was in jealousy before.
Jealous. One person jealous of another, or what another has. Now let's think of some positive things. What have you seen positive this week that the devil doesn't like at all? I'd like for you to tell me something positive now. What have you seen here this week that you would like to copy? That you think would help you combat the devil? Pete?
Well, the friendly, loving attitude.
Is that a put on, do you think?
I don't think so.
Are we this way all the time?
I think I have a problem that way because I let her walk. She's an enemy. But as far as showing out to them, I'm not that much of a person to press out. Take you for instance. You sort of love me. You know, walking up and pushing my arm around the feet and home. I'd like to stay there too. Well, I'm not that kind of a person to show out so much. I will. I love her.
I think they know you love her.
But I don't show it out.
Do you tell them?
Okay.
Okay. Beth? What's her name?
Now that's love.
Gerald?
I've seen hospitality, and I've seen people who are willing to give what they have and share, and not only give what they have and share, but be flexible and patient to accommodate the person that they're dealing with.
Anybody else? Jess?
Well, I have to mention our discussion groups again. They were so good, and for me, especially this week, we're taught in the Bible that the older women should teach the younger, but it doesn't very often happen if you get together in a group like that. And there are a lot of people that might never have gotten together before, a lot of problems that might never have been discussed, but yet when questions have been asked that are really close to the heart of some of us younger ones, the older ones, who may in the past have also been uncomfortable about talking to each other about these things, have been willing to give of themselves because they see there's a real need there. And besides helping us get some of the problems out and maybe give some advice that will help us, I think it's created a wonderful bond of love and closeness that hasn't been there before. At least I know it has with me and some of these, the older women and the younger girls too. I really do.
I want to ask you, you young ladies, how many of you were afraid to go to the discussion group? The young lady, just everybody below 25, let's say 25, we're going to make that the cutoff. How many of you were afraid to go to the discussion group? Now I want to ask the older ladies, how many of you were afraid to go to the discussion group? There we go. One little hand. Well, bless you for admitting it, because I think there were lots of others that were afraid. We ought to be ready to share, but when I open up, you know, when I open up my heart and tell you what my problem is or tell you what's bothering me, I always am opening myself up to be hurt, aren't I? I'm always opening myself up to be hurt. But doesn't that happen whenever you fall in love? If we love each other, we open ourselves up to be hurt. Jesus, what did he do? Open himself up wide open. Did he get hurt? He got killed for it. Well, if we're to be like him, then we have to open the door, don't we? Like we said the other day, what does this mean to you? This is the high school principal, isn't it? The man with the golden arms, they called him. Why? Because he is saying, I'm in my world, you're in your world, and you stay on your side of the fence, and I'll stay on my side of the fence. But the one who does like this, he's saying, I'm wide open. Do whatever you want to. When they put me on the operating table, you know, I just laid out there flat as a pancake and just said, just carve me up if you want to. Why'd they do that? Well, they put me under. Some of us need to be put under a table, yes?
You know, we have to learn how to give, but we also have to learn how to receive. We've got to receive in the right kind of way.
Right.
Some of us have learned to give, but we can't take.
Yeah, it's a give-and-take situation.
Well, you're mentioning what things the devil wouldn't like, what positive things are done here. I think there's a, to me, I've realized a presence of simplicity in the gospel. So many times, friends that I have that aren't in the church or even in the denomination will say, well, it's too difficult, it's too impossible a task to learn, so we'll just live the best life we can and hope for the best. Well, to me, it may take us quite a while to arrive at some of these decisions or come to these verses. Maybe it's years and years of study. When we finally get to the truth, it seems so simple, and it makes so much sense. And that's what I think the devil would like.
And the others? Haven't heard from the peanut gallery back there yet. I'm looking right at you. Come on, let's have something. Joanne, what have you seen that you like this week? Pick on you, if you won't respond, well, I'll ask you to respond. I don't want to embarrass you. Sure, she sees something. Yeah, just a minute. Huh? How many of you like the Tuesday and Thursdays where you could get together and converse? Rather than have a steady diet of something planned for you. We all need a little change, don't we? The Lord knew that. We need to change every 7 days, Alan.
One of the most positive things I found out is for well, I found out most of the week is all the work that the Mandelia congregation did. I know you spend hours and hours. Another thing that just raised me up, excuse me, is all these young evangelists. We get to thinking there isn't any, hardly any left, you know, and then you get them together. And I just love all those little families.
That's great, yeah.
I think, too, the things that Satan hates the most are Trina and Danny.
Trina and Danny, the devil wasn't happy last night, but we're happy, and that was a great thing, great, okay? That was good too, really good. I've appreciated that Alan found out that she could lead a discussion group. Did you know she didn't think she could do it? And I think the devil is disappointed that she didn't prove her point. Everybody agree with that? Anybody else got something? Well, we've got all kinds of hands. Gilbert, we'll take yours. You haven't talked yet. We're going to take the ones that haven't talked first, okay? That's what I liked about the classes is that we've had a chance to exchange ideas. No one has gotten mad at anybody else if they differed with them. No one has let their temper show. No one has tried to be a defender of the faith in the sense that he was the guardian of the faith. You know, I don't think the faith needs a guardian. God will guard it. We need to explore it. We need to look at it, and then we need to go home and, like you say, make sure in our own mind that it's right, like the noble Bereans. That's a good idea. And I think we've been doing that if we've been alert. Anybody else now? Cindy?
I don't know if the devil didn't have to be always completely in front of my dad.
Good.
And it's been good since then.
I think so, too. I think we've had a good time together, and the devil isn't happy when we have a good time together. Anna? You mean you feel like that you've welded a few links of chain that you didn't have before in your friendship bracelet, so to speak? I think that's great, too. Anybody else?
These films have been outstanding, too. Drake got these films that Drake's been showing.
You know, those are real practical, I believe. And I like the manner in which he presents. I got a little tired looking at his face, like you probably got tired looking at mine. But what he said made sense, didn't it? And what he said, so far as I've been able to tell, goes right down the Bible line. Now, like Brother Gilbert said, we ought to go back and check our Bible, see if that's what so. But I think we can see a lot of examples of people. We can see ourselves. I saw myself in every one of them, did you? Except the Marian one. I didn't see myself in that one. I'm joking, of course, Doug.
I think one of the things about this being is that the reason it happened was in fire, so we're exposed to attackers.
Well, that, I'm hoping that we did. Encouraging. I'm hoping we did.
James said, resist and then when he'll flee, and Jesus resisting by a saying it's written.
That's right. Jesus had a ready answer, and that's what we've been trying to get, are some ready answers when he comes up against us. But if we don't see him coming, if I can't see him coming, I'm not going to build my resistance, am I? I'm not going to build up my defense. And that's been the purpose of the class. I don't know whether you got that or not. I hope you did. The purpose of the class was, can I see him coming to me? Can I see him coming at me, and then have I got the defense to build against him? And you can use all the other classes we've had to build that defense, can't you? But if you can't see him, you're not going to shoot at him, are you? You're not going to resist him, because he's going to be on you before you know it. So I'm happy that you're expressing these things. I'd like to get some more positive thinking for just the next few minutes. Keith?
I'd like to defend the young people. I would say, you know, we hear a lot of things that seem wrong, but that's the thing that I just said. I would serve the young people this week, and I'd answer them if they came in and helped them.
How many of the young people are here for the first time at a 2 weeks meeting? This is the first time you've ever come to a 2 weeks meeting. Well, several of you. Several of you have been to 2 weeks meetings before, and you've been exposed to what was expected of you. But you who are new, you didn't know what to expect when you came, did you? Well, you know the next time? I hope so.
It's an indication that your priorities are straight.
Right. And that's good, isn't it? Because if the priorities are straight for young people.
First, the kingdom of God.
Right. Bob?
I know that some of the young people made a great financial sacrifice on their own to be here. And that's expected of some of us who had more experience. But for the young people to make that kind of sacrifice, I think it's outstanding.
It's an inspiration to me, and I know that. Anybody else here? Gladys?
This is kind of different. Like being alone, it's been always hard for me to make conversation with people. And it really has helped me all these discussions. And I've been able to talk to them.
Well, good. That's great, isn't it? Any other? Tom?
We can get discouraged by our home congregations when we go back home. Sometimes we get discouraged by that, but I think there's things we've seen here that encourage us about our congregations. The devil likes us to look at the problems. And in looking at the problems, we can overlook the good things. And I think, like the young people, they're evidence of good, of the good in the congregations that they come from. And it should help us appreciate what we have. We compare our congregation to what we have here, and we think, oh, well, our congregation's not much, but it's really good. And we shouldn't get down because we don't have exactly what we have here.
That's one of the problems of a meeting like this is that we get high while we're here, and then we go home and we think it has to be low. How many of you think you can make something high happen in your congregation when you go home? You can. There's no way that the devil can keep you from doing it if you want to do it. Okay, Brenda, you had your hand up.
Yeah. In general, if you were to be in a crowd of people that you're unaware of, or we don't know them, like you're out in the world, you go into a big crowd, strangers aren't going to come up to you and just start a conversation with you. I notice when I turn down these meetings is someone I have never seen before in my entire life will come up, will just start gabbing with you. You know, you just talk about anything. It's like, here, I feel real comfortable here. I'm not like to start talking conversation. Here, I feel really relaxed because we're all for the same goal and we're all here. Everything's about how much we can talk about the new thing.
That's important. Other comments? We're going to let you go a little bit early then today. Thank you for participating. We appreciate it.
Let us all unite to sing that God is Lord.
Well, we'll try it again today, Tom. I think it's going to fall off just like it did yesterday. Yeah, I need something. Yeah, I'll try. Only thing is, the clip's on the wrong way. These mechanical gadgets. Now I got it, I think. Get my bifocals in. Revelations 12 and 10 says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God night and day. Satan, the accuser before God, the accuser of our brethren. This is what we want to talk about today. Yesterday we talked about the newborn in Christ, how we would treat them, how they become discouraged, how they become undernourished, how they leave the fold, how they die off before they have a chance to sprout almost. Today I want to talk about us oldsters in the church. We are accused before God. And we'll look at some of the stories about this. In the 2 Corinthians letter, the 2nd chapter and the 10th verse, Paul says, but whom you forgive anything, I forgive also, in order that no advantage be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. 2 Corinthians 7:10, for the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. Suppose that a believer, a person who has been a believer for many, many years, doesn't take advantage of the victory over the devil that he has in Christ. He can be accused, but he cannot be victorious. The devil cannot be victorious before God if we be in Christ.
He can be victorious if we are not in Christ, if we don't remain in Christ. Suppose as a Christian I refuse the armor that we've talked about, the things that you could use to reinforce your defenses against the devil's work. But I refuse to be exposed to those pieces of armor. I refuse to put them on. I will not apply them to my life. There's no way I will. Then I'm open to the devil's attack and I'm open to be overcome. Suppose the believer sins, then what? And who doesn't? You know, we'd like to think that Satan just led a person into sin and then he'd leave him alone to suffer the consequences. But no, he isn't that way. He wants to batten down all the hatches, we might say. He doesn't want to leave it to chance that the turncoat will repent and Satan will lose him after he has him on his own turf, we might say. The devil never gives up. He never gives up on a Christian, we're talking about, on you and me. So he instructs your workers, keep him full of remorse and regret about the things that he's done. Keep him low. Keep him knocked down. Keep his chin hanging on the ground, so to speak. Because as long as we've got him in that position, he's ours. You might even introduce the thought that he's gone too far. Did you ever hear of a person who went too far to be saved? Thought that he'd done so many things wrong, there was no possibility that God could forgive him, or cause him to be so ashamed that he won't turn to his brethren for help or to God for help. I think the most tragic story in the Bible is Judas, who had within his arm's length, yes, shorter than that, Jesus Christ's forgiveness, and he went out and hanged himself. I've seen brethren do the same thing, haven't you? Brethren that have been in the faith, as we say, for years, go out and literally, not literally hang themselves, but spiritually hang themselves. The same difference, isn't it? The devil's target is our heart and our conscience. And he knows, I know as a Christian when I'm wearing filthy garments, and I know that my garments are supposed to be white. One time before we went to the 4th of July, I was so proud. I was about 10 years old, and I'd been begging my father and mother for I don't know how long to get me a new white sailor suit. I thought that would be the ultimate of my dream, to have a new white sailor suit and white shoes. Never had white shoes in my life before. And I thought I'd really be grand if I could get new white shoes and a new white sailor suit with a blue collar and red stars on it. They sacrificed to get that for me. But I found very early, almost before I got to the celebration, that I wished my pants were black and my shirt were blue. Because everything I touched turned black. Well, isn't that the way we are with our Christian life? I really would like to have a white robe, wouldn't you? So white that it almost hurts your eyes. But I find spots on it. I get discouraged. I know that my garments have gotten filthy. But do I know where the washroom is? Do I know where the laundromat is? I'm afraid some of us haven't been given directions to the laundromat, the spiritual laundromat. Well, I can go and put in a quarter. No, I don't have to put in a quarter even. All I have to do is recognize my garments are filthy. I know this detergent will take them out, and I put the two together, and they take them out, and I go home happy. Why won't we do that? The devil doesn't like clean clothes, does he? He likes it when we get ourselves all messed up. He loves that we don't know the way to the laundromat, and he's delighted that we have no faith in the detergent he's asked us to use. How did they overcome? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of his testimony, and because they counted their own lives not dear.